Amen. And there's then the gifts that he has placed, the call that he has placed within your life that he wants to stir up and resurrect, that it may be able to come forth and fulfill. Amen. The reason and the purpose why he saved us, the reason and the purpose why we're here on this beautiful Sunday morning. I don't know about you, but I was really blessed with the praise and the worship, and I'm just excited, not only because you are here, amen, but because the Lord is here. Remember, he's risen. He's with us right now as I speak, amen. Let's give him a good clap offering here this morning. The title of this morning's message is Resurrection Breakthrough. Resurrection Breakthrough. I love that beautiful song that they're doing now. There was a part that there was nobody in the tomb with Jesus, but God was still working. And you may feel like that here this morning. You almost feel the big stone rolling before the tomb of your life. And you feel like nobody understands your situation. You feel that I don't even know it's so deep of what you're going through that I can't even help you, that God can't even help you. And I believe, can you imagine the life of Jesus through his obedience and being faithful and put to death on the cross, trusting in the Father, amen, to come through with his word, that he would be resurrected on the third day. Now, you might have been married before, you might be divorced, you might be married and receive some false promises that somebody wasn't able to keep with you. They promised you. Your son and daughter probably promised you that this year, 2018, was the year they were going to stop doing this or that, amen, and change their lives around. And they might have even broke your promises with you dealing with changing their lives and doing what is right. But I want to let you know here this morning that when the Lord makes a promise, as the song said, he's a promise keeper. And just because you just might be one of those here this morning that feels all alone, don't mean that God ain't working it out right now in your midst. He's working. He's always working. Because he is a promise keeper. Amen? So here this day, I want you to keep those thoughts within your mind as I'm speaking. That God not only knows the address you're at, he knows what's taking place within your life. Whether it's something that's negative, he knows all about it. And he just don't know all about it, but he knows how to change it. If something great is taking place in your life and you feel people are overlooking you and nobody's noticing the great things that God is doing within your life, he sees all, knows all, even before you think it. So wherever you're at this beautiful Easter Sunday, Resurrection Breakthrough Sunday, God knows where you're at. And he's able to meet your needs. Whether you're doing terrible, he's able to meet your need right there where you're at. And whether you're doing great, he knows how to take you to the next level from glory to glory. So that's good news for each and every one of us here this beautiful Sunday morning. Wherever you're at, the Lord knows. And he also knows what to do. Amen? As we go to the book of Mark chapter 16, I'm going to read from 1 all the way through 11. I know there's people that know God's word, but I believe there might be a few here this morning that have never heard the gospel. And you're here because somebody invited you. Amen. That's why I'm going to take my time and read for all alike. Amen. Because we all need a word here this morning. Mark 16:1. The Bible reads, Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, there was nothing greater than this morning going to my prayer area and opening the blinds and the sun just coming through. There was nothing greater than that. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. And on the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone from us, from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. The most ancient manuscripts of Mark conclude with verse 16 and 8. Later manuscripts add one or both of the following endings. Shorter ending of Mark. Then they briefly reported all this to Peter and his companions. Afterward, Jesus himself sent them out from east to west with the sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. Amen. Longer ending of Mark. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Here the Bible records that Mary Magdalene and a few other women were actual witnesses of a few things. And the first thing they were a witness of was of the death of Jesus. They were also a witness of where he was laid. In other words, they knew where the tomb was at. Amen? There was no question in their mind that Jesus was dead. Amen? There might be no question in some of your all's minds right now that there's some things that are dead in your life that should be alive. But like the song said, God's working. God's working. God's working it out here this morning. There's things that you wish that you could see alive within your life, alive within your spouse, alive within your children that may not be there in the to the physical eye, but God is working it out. He's a way maker, a game changer. His name is Jesus, and he has risen, and he is here with us right now as he was with the disciples of 2,000 years ago. He's here this morning with you and I. The world can't compete with Jesus that is here with us this beautiful Sunday morning. All the women, all the drugs, and all the craziness I did cannot compare with the presence of the Lord that is here this morning with you and I, because he's still working it out. He's working it out. And sometimes we feel that we need to know everything and how he's going to do it. But all you need to know and believe this morning is that he's working it out. He's working it out. That if there's anybody you can have faith in, it's Jesus. If there's any promises that you can hold on to and stand upon, it's the word of Jesus. He's with us here this day. Be encouraged that he ain't done with you yet. That he's working some things out that to you may feel so big that it'll never happen. But God's saying, that might be a truth, but for me, that's nothing. I can change that with a thought. So we find that there was no question of his death, and to confirm that through Scripture. If I was speaking to ministers, I could just keep going forward. But I know there's a crowd here, a very young or a brand new convert that's going to get saved this day. So I want to confirm the words I'm speaking to confirm with the word of the Lord here this day. And what was really taking place, amen? In Mark 15, 39 to 40, I want to confirm that the women knew that he was dead. It wasn't a story they were told when everybody got back from Calvary. Amen? But the Bible says, when the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he died, he exclaimed, "This man truly was the Son of God." Amen? Verse 40 says, some women were there. They were watching from a distance, including Mary Magdalene, amen? And also Mary, the mother of James, and the younger, and of Joseph, and of Salome, amen? So here we find out that these women that I opened up with were present. They might have been at a distance, but they were able to see the crucifixion, amen? The death of Jesus. In verse 47, the Bible reads that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. Amen? In opening scriptures, it was the angel of the Lord telling them, look, he's not no longer where he was laid. But here, Mary Magdalene, amen, was there the whole time. She knew everything and every step of the death of Jesus. It says that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. So she was close, and I believe the men and the soldiers were doing those things, but she was close because that was the devotion and the love that she had in her heart for what Jesus had done in her life. She was not only there while he was living, but her devotion to Jesus was so strong that she wanted to be there every step of the way, even in his death. There was a love within her life. And the Bible records that she not only got to see him die on the cross from a distance, but she saw also, she followed every step of the way, even where the tomb was and where they laid him in the tomb. Tells me that she wanted to be part of everything in the life of the man that saved her. In Mark 16, 3 and 4, the Bible reads, on the way, they were asking each other. See, how did they know the way? Because they had been there already. They had been there already. And the Bible says, on the way they were asking each other, who will roll the stone? How did they even know a stone was there? Because they were there. They had been there when they put him in the tomb. So that's why they were talking. She was talking to the other woman as they were on their way. They were talking, man, we got to, they were going to anoint his body, which simply means that they were going to, I'm looking for the word. It's not coming to me. When you, for the body don't rot, a simple word, it's just not coming to me. Embalming. All right? So they were going with the spices there to embalm the body of Jesus. Amen? The Bible, the translation that I'm using here this morning uses to anoint the body of Jesus. But they were there with the spices to embalm his body. And in order to get to his body, they knew, they had a thought on the way over. They said, oh, who's going to roll that big old stone out of the way for us to embalm his body? How did they know about the stone? They were there. They were there. If I can have all the moving around in the background come to an end, please. It's real easy for people to be distracted, amen? The enemy just don't work outside the walls of the church. He works inside also, amen? The devil don't want this message going out here this day to peep game that Jesus is alive. He wants some of y'all to continue to think he ain't alive. You just here because somebody invited you. Focus. The Bible records on the way they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? And I believe there's a few of y'all that still haven't been encouraged yet to the words I have used. And you're asking yourself, who's going to remove this large stone to my life? You want it out of there, but you're saying, I can't do it. Who's going to roll this great stone from my life so I can live and I can fulfill what Christ has called me to do? You see, within that tomb was Jesus. But at the entrance of the tomb was a great stone. And in every one of our lives, there's a great stone, amen, that can be rolled in front of your life or can be rolled away from your life. And there's some things that we can roll away from our lives, some stones that are small enough that we can push with our ability out of our way. But then in this life and end time that we're living in, you're going to find some large stones that are going to try to prevent you, amen, with resurrection power to fulfill what God has called you to do and be. There's some stones in your life that you ain't going to be able to roll on your own strength. There are some stones that only Jesus can remove from your life. If the Father was able to do it for Jesus, he's able to do it for each and every one of us. There's no stone too great, too heavy, whatever the name may be or the substance may be called, that can stop the hand of God. Here at this time, it was more easier for them to believe that Jesus had died because there were witnesses of his death. They seen him die at the cross from a distance. They were closer and they seen the tomb that he was buried in and where he was buried in the tomb. They knew the way to the tomb. They knew about the large stone before the tomb. With the facts that they had, it was easier for them to believe that he was dead. Then he had been resurrected. And I put it here, how many know that it's easier to believe something that is negative than a truth? It's so much easier to believe something that is negative than believing the truth. And the reason for that is that the negative, we can do that on our worst day. We don't have to be in spirit to believe something negative, to believe a lie. But to believe the truth when you can't see it, you're going to have to be in spirit. You're going to have to trust that God is working it out. God is working it out here this day. No matter what the stone is called, no matter how long that stone has been before your life, you may say, Pastor, I was born with this. It's a hereditary. It's a curse from my parent or my grandparent. But the death of Jesus on the cross reversed the curse, took care of the curse of yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus, the waymaker. God's at work right now. I'm encouraged that he's at work right now. Amen. There was things that I was seeing in the natural, but when the praise and the worship started, all of a sudden the Lord started showing me things in the spiritual realm, in the realm of truth, where everything manifests, where you can see it with the eye. Here we come to find out that at times it's easier to think negative than there is to think being positive and relying in faith in the promises of the Lord. But here in Mark 16, 4-6, the Bible reads, but as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. So it's like, oh, man. Oh, wait a minute, man. Who's going to move the stone for us to embalm the body of Jesus? And they finally get to the tomb. They look up, and what do you know? The stone had already been moved. It was love within their lives that had rolled that stone away from the entrance of the tomb. I would say it wasn't to let Jesus out, but to let them in. Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away. Amen. When he resurrected in a resurrection body. I would say that if you ever watch Scooby-Doo and the ghosts go through the walls and they, he did one of those. I believe the stone was rolled back and he still went through the wall. Just look at the guards and going through the walls. Ain't no wall going to keep Jesus back. Ain't no stone going to keep Jesus back. He is the rock. He is the foundation, the unshakable foundation, one that you can stand on and remain. He was the rock. It wasn't the one before the tomb. Jesus was the rock. He was in the tomb because of obedience and love unto the Father and for you and I to experience this day, to experience his presence. He humbled himself. And here now the evidence was showing that he was alive. That he was alive. In Mark 16, verse 9, the Bible records this: after Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning. There's somebody's life Jesus is going to raise up in this morning, this Sunday morning. The Bible reads that the first person who saw him or who he saw was Mary Magdalene. That's what the Bible says. The Lord showed up to a woman first. He didn't go to one of the guys. Women, don't get too excited. That's probably men because they need more help. Got you. I got the pulpit this morning. Women, yeah. And the men say, amen. Amen. He showed himself first to a woman. Not just any woman. I believe she was a woman from the South Side. She was a hardcore woman. I believe she was a woman from the North Side. She was hardcore. showed himself to a woman first. And it was even recorded by a man that was writing. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And I put here why. Why would he first appear himself to Mary Magdalene, the ex-hardcore Southside girl, Northside girl? Nowadays, the girls are hardcore on the West Side and East Side also, amen? They need Jesus. They need Jesus to show up. Amen. The Bible says that she was the woman, at the end of the verse there says, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. He had driven seven demons out of her. She had a gratitude and a gratefulness unto Jesus for saving her life that was demon-possessed. The stone before her life were demons that were stopping the work of God from taking place within her life. There were spirits, demons. And those spirits and demons are still around nowadays, 2,000 years later, but they're defeated. There's a risen Christ. And he cast out and dealt with them demons before his resurrection. While he was walking the earth as full God and full man, he dealt with those demons in the life of Mary Magdalene. He did something so great that he left her grateful for what he had done that money couldn't do, that men couldn't do, a job couldn't do, the best church in the city couldn't do. Jesus had done something within her life that nobody else could do but Jesus. He had rolled large stones from her life that were her deathbed. Jesus had done something that only Jesus could do in the life of Madeline. There's some things taking place in your women's life right now that only Jesus can bring forth, that only Jesus can continue to set the course for your life. She had a gratefulness, a gratitude. And the good thing, the great thing was that Jesus knew it. It was not just something of reverence that she had for the Lord. It was something Jesus felt and knew about her heart. He was not looking at who she used to be, a demon-possessed woman. He was not looking at her outer condition that maybe for the Bible don't record, but it might have been a lot of years that she was demon-possessed, and within her face and her life, it showed. The marks were there of the enemy upon her outer life. But what Jesus did took place in her life. And when Jesus knew about Mary Magdalene was that her heart was devoted to him through gratitude and gratefulness of what only he could do. Some of you women are still counting on a man. Some of you women are still looking and counting for more money in a car. That cannot remove the stone, the work of the enemy. Her devotion unto the Lord was strong. Even after he was dead, her devotion for the Lord was strong. Strong. She was there for him even when he was dead. And even though she thought he was dead, and maybe she was believing like everybody else that he would never rise, she was going and giving her devotion, love, and gratitude for the man that removed the demons from her life. But it was upon this devotion that stirred the life of Jesus. I believe he was going to the 12, and he just felt the heart of Mary. Madeline there beating after him through gratefulness and thankfulness. And I believe Jesus was walking to the disciples. And then he stopped. Said, I'm going to go check out Mary first. Women, where's your devotion for the Lord this morning? Is it one that can guide them to your life? The Lord's speaking here this morning. See, a devoted heart unto the Lord, just, it allows the Lord to know that you really, really want to change. You could be here this morning not wanting to change. You're here, you could be here this morning because it's the right thing to do, but you still have a hardened heart. But it's okay because there's good news of the gospel here this morning, wherever you're at this morning. Her devotion unto the Lord was strong. And how many here I put can say the same? If it wasn't for Jesus, where would I be right now? I was so demon-possessed, I became a demon. That's how possessed I was, under addiction. I put here every genuine believer here this morning can experience and proclaim Jesus has risen. I put here his love responds to our love and devotion unto him. There's nothing greater than when I go and just sit with the Lord. I used to be real loud. I used to pray where I lose my voice, and that's when I would stop. But today, because I know he's after our heart, not how loud we pray, but it's still important to learn how to pray audible, because there's street rallies. You got to lay hands and be audible. You're at somebody's bed there at the hospital. You got to learn how to pray audible. So here, the love that she had for him was noticed by him. Was noticed by him. Let's now go to the life of Peter. There were two people in the readings I did from 1 through 11 spoke about Mary Magdalene, verse 9. Now let's go to Peter. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 11, let's read. The Bible reads, I passed on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. You can count on God's word. He was seen by Peter. Remember that. This is Paul speaking. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. Amen? After that, he was seen by more than 500 of the followers at one time. Most of them who are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time. This is humble Paul speaking. Amen. I also saw him. For I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because of God poured out his special favor on me. And not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working. God's working. Even when Paul was called Saul, killing the Christians, the way God was working. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. Here in verse 5, the Bible records that he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. Meaning the Lord saw Peter first regarding the men. Then he saw the rest of the disciples. That's what Scripture says. There's others, but for the sake of time, I'm going to stick to this one right here. Amen? I'm going to come back to that. In 1 Corinthians 15, let's go to verse 8. See, the evidence in the beginning of the preaching was very strong that Jesus had died. On Friday night, if you were here for the service, we did the reenactment of that day where for Jesus was hung on the cross. The church saw it. It was easy to believe because we saw and witnessed that he had died. But now it's all resurrection talk taking place. Amen? And we can believe he died. We can should also be able to believe that he has risen according to the word. In verse 8, Paul speaks, he says, last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. How many felt or have said, man, why did they bring me into this world? You felt like you were born at the wrong time. You said, I wish I was never born. Paul was looking back to his life as he was Saul and saying, man, look what the Lord has done. He was working it out. And he knew that he was working it out through his grace. Because if there was someone that did not deserve an opportunity, it would have been Saul that was persecuting the early church. And I believe before we all got saved, we were all church persecutors. We were all Sauls. We were all Mary Magdalenes. In one shape, form, or matter, in one way or another, the Bible says that we all fall short. So here, Paul says that he had seen him, even though he felt that he was born at the wrong time, I also saw him. The Lord wants to appear to every man here this morning, every woman here this morning, every youth here this morning, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what took place in your early upbringing. The Lord wants to show himself to you that he's working it out. He's working it out here this morning. In verse 9, he says, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. You see, Saul could have got stuck and just stayed with that. But now he was able to write about it because of God's grace that was working it out. And I believe a lot of people get stuck because of all the stuff we did. And we can never get past the place that Jesus would ever, ever want to use our lives. I was one of those when I came into the church there in 1997 with Pastor Herb and Sister Margot. I took the fact, bro, I say the story the same with a pack of smokes checking all the ladies out. I was out of prison the day before. I'm going 20 years back, people, amen? Everybody, he was doing so good. What? I'm not talking about yesterday. Have a guilty conscience? That might have been you yesterday. And I was there, and I would feel the move of God take place in my life in that back row of the church. I would feel the move of God in my life taking place at the altar. But I didn't understand nothing. Born and raised a Catholic. I didn't understand what God was doing. I did not understand or have the faith to believe that He was working it out. There was no way. I was just there. It was just a coincidence that I was there in the church, as it just might be a coincidence that you're here this morning. But I want to let you know it's not a coincidence. It's a divine appointment set by God for you to be here on this day, Resurrection Sunday, to get your breakthrough of truth, for God's word to come to pass, for the gifts to be stirred, for the gifts to come forward. You could talk to me till you were blue in the face, and I would never think I would leave drugs and with them and get out of the prison system. I've already gone back twice, 7 years. But something would take place when the preaching would start, and I didn't even have a blue's clue who Pastor Herb was. And lo and behold, God knew that he would become my best friend and that I would walk by his side for many years. At every altar call at the conference, I was by his side, keeping an eye on God and an eye on my Father. I was always by his side. I did everything in the world to put my Bible on that seat to make sure I was with Pastor Herb. I did everything in the world to get my tired body out of the room to be there on time, because he was always early. I had to be earlier, and I would do everything to put the books, the Bibles down as a pastor. I was still acting like a director because I was grateful in what God had done in my life and the man that he had used in my life. I went way out of my way to sit by him and to stand by him, because I knew the anointing was upon him, and I knew I didn't have to stand. I just had to get close enough to get some of what he was getting. I didn't have a clue what God was wanting to do in my life. Didn't have a clue. My mom and dad didn't have a clue. My brothers and sisters, they were all counting me out. I was all messed up. They even said that about the life of Jesus. What good can come out of Nazareth? What good can come out of you, Southside girl, Northside girl? Southside, Northside men in the house of God this morning, you may feel there's no worth in your life. And the worth is Christ in your life. And he's able to grow. As we decrease, he's able to increase. And if you keep coming and you get involved in the church and you put your hands to the plow, God will appear to your life and let you know your gifts, let you know the call upon your life. You just got to, like Pastor Herb said, keep on coming for Jesus to reveal himself to you. His famous words were, just keep on coming. Even if you can't figure it out, just keep on coming. He's got it all figured out. He can't give it to you all at once. We would all OD. Because if I was to ask somebody, do you want the whole plan right now? You can give it to me, man, right now. Give it to me, man. I want it right now. Give it. Ah! Give it to me. You're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. It's so powerful, it's got to be given in little doses, just like Wednesday prayer night service dose, like the Friday night dose, like the Sunday morning dose, amen? And as you continue, like any drug addict, the dose keeps getting higher and higher, amen? Keeps getting higher and higher, more Jesus and less of us. But some of you are still getting high on the things of the world instead of high on the Most High, Jesus Christ. Here, Saul had now become Paul, knew it was just simply the grace of God that would want to use a person that was incarcerating and killing the Christians, the very beginning church that was starting to happen. In verse 10, I love this reading. He says, but whatever I am now, Paul speaking very humble, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. As I put this mess together last night, I prayed the prayer, Lord, I thank you for have pouring your special favor upon my life. I know who I am today. It's not because of me, but because of the special favor that the Lord has poured in my life as a vessel that he can speak through, work through, to work it out in other people's lives that are willing and tired of being in the same place. He says he's poured out his special favor on me, and not with results. When the Lord poured his favor and grace upon my life, when the Lord pours his favor upon your life, results should come forth. Fruit, you should be bearing fruit. Saul became Paul because of the grace that God poured out upon his life. And Paul, speaking very humble, said, man, it was not without results. He was now writing, being inspired of God, and producing almost the majority of the New Testament was now the one that was penning the very words of Jesus himself because of the poured out grace and favor that God poured upon his life. Today, 20 years later, the more closer I get to the Lord, the more I know it's not me and it's all him. I know it's God's doing. I had a little bit to do with it. But it was the grace and the favor of God that was poured out upon my life that is being poured out right now upon your life. There was results. I put here God's favor brought results not only to Paul, but through Paul. Through Paul's life. In Luke 22, 16, 62, going back to Peter. It's where Peter denies the Lord. On one hand, we have Mary Magdalene. The Lord removed 7 demons. She was grateful. There was a devotion in her life, a love for Jesus. And then we got Peter, which represents 90% of us here this day. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. The word of the Lord does not only be fulfilled sometimes, positive, but it sometimes gets fulfilled and it's negative. Because the word of the Lord, the promise of the Lord will always come to pass. And here Peter had denied the Lord. But yet we find the Lord. Now Peter, not like Mary Magdalene at this point of his life, was backslidden. He had come back to repentance after the resurrection. Not like Mary Magdalene. She was there. Amen. And she was there at the tomb. She was there at the cross. She was there the whole time. Even after he died, she was there. Peter was off somewhere fishing with the other guys. Here, God knew that Peter's heart was crushed. We find that the resurrected Jesus shown himself. Go to verse 5 again. Verse 5, please. Go back a few. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. Well, we know why he chose to be seen or to see Mary Magdalene first. It was because of her devotion and love and that she was in position. Amen? But here Peter, on the other hand, was out of position. He was backslidden. He had denied the Lord 3 times and claimed that he didn't even know who he was. And yet Jesus, being all-knowing and compassionate, shows himself first to Peter, the Bible records, then the rest of the 12. He knew he was crushed despite his repentance. He knew it was going to be hard on Peter facing the disciples. Has anybody ever backslid or did something really bad and it's really hard for you to come to church? What are they going to say? Oh, my God, I got to go to another church and allows you to go church hopping? Here, Jesus knew what was taking place within the life of Peter, even though he was out of position. He knew it was going to be hard for Peter to come together with the disciples and with him again because of a pride. Luke 22, 23. Here was Peter earlier before the rooster crowed. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. We learned on Friday that he chopped the guy's ear off because he wasn't prayed up. Here, Peter, before his fall, had proclaimed his loyalty too loudly and failed too greatly, even to the point he felt so great, even to the point of denying the Lord 3 times. Every time we fail, we're denying the Lord and what he's able to do in one's life. Here, Peter was proclaiming, have anybody ever said, man, I'm going to do this, man, I'm going to tear it up. And then when I get there, man, I'm going to Pastor, you watch, you see. What was that? Pretty soon my house in the country was all kinds of chickens and roosters out there. Going to be a lot of roosters crowing out there. Back in Texas, you just need one rooster and a lot of hens. Resurrection Sunday, wake up. Oh, man, I don't want to go to church, man. God, what are they going to say, man? I know they're going to look, they're looking at me right now. And the just keeps echoing. Here, Jesus was not looking at Peter's wrong, but his heart. And even though Peter had failed greatly, as some of us have, Jesus was looking at the condition of his heart, and he was able to see the same heart that Mary Magdalene had. One that really loved him and had messed up, had let Jesus down. He was talking good. He was talking big. Then the rooster crowed. Conviction set in. Condemnation set in. And he was hurting. But yet Jesus knew exactly where his heart was and what he needed. Can you imagine? He was backslidden, and it's recorded in the Bible. Jesus goes to him first, and then he follows up with the other guy. Like, what about us? Why are you going to Peter, man? The one that was talking the whole smack out the side of his neck. He would go to prison. He was willing to die. Ran. We all heard the rooster crow. But Jesus, not like Madeline that was devoted, in position, Peter being out of position, Jesus was looking at his heart. And you may feel out of position here this morning. You may not know the next move of the Lord here this morning. But he's in position, and he knows the next move for your life. I speak it right now that the Lord is going to triple this church. Amen? Amen. Because what I know he's doing in my life right now. He first had to prepare me to do what he wants to do. And there's some things that you want to do in your marriage with your children, but what comes first is the Lord preparing you so when the good news comes, you know how to nurse them and grow them and give them the things of Jesus. It's hard for the Lord to bring breakthrough when you ain't ready for it. And here, Jesus was moved by the heart, not the denial of Peter, but by his heart he was moved. And I know there's some loyal men in this church right now. I know there's some loyal women in this church right now. I know there's some loyal youth in this church right now that want to do the will of God, that has heard the call and want to answer the call, but there's a big old stone in the way. Big stone in the way. Stones for some of you that you have put there. You were strong enough in the days to put that stone there. Now you've grown weak and you can't even remove the stone you put there. Here Jesus was not looking at Peter's wrong, but his heart. We all have good hearts here this morning because Jesus is the one that created our heart. We all have good hearts. But we need to believe that he has risen. And there's a call upon each and every one of our lives to answer the call. Even when things are not going your way. They weren't going Mary Madeline's way and she was still there even though he was dead. She was faithful. He knew Peter loved him. Just as much as Mary Madeline did. And here this morning, whether you're doing great with your walk with the Lord this day, as Mary Madeline was having, or you feel like Peter, when he denied the Lord three times, Jesus' resurrection from the dead should encourage you here this morning that he's not only looking for those in position, but for those that are out of position, in position. Because of God's grace and mercy and favor that's just about to get poured out right now at this altar call. Like it did in my life 20 years ago. These are not the words that I speak right now. They're the words of the Lord, words of the Spirit. I couldn't make up something this good on acid. This is God speaking right now to your life. God is speaking to you right now. He's speaking to you right now. You should be encouraged that he's able to do all things and that he's not done with you, I put. He's working right now as the worship team kindly makes their way. He's working right now. He's going to do something within your life that you may not be able to see or figure out, but he's at work right now. It's hard at times for us to figure out what God is doing because the Bible records that God is spirit. And a lot of times when he does something in our life, we're 100% in the flesh. He's doing a spiritual surgery in our flesh. Breakthrough is going to come right now. Right there where you're at, I want you to stand. Whether you fulfill the profile of Mary Magdalene in position, love devotion for Jesus in the good times, in the bad times, or you feel like Peter, you're right there with Jesus, talking good, walking with him. But man, Jesus had the right man when he went and spoke to Peter. In the book of Acts, it records as Peter was preaching his first message that thousands were saved to the early church. See, us Victory Outreach people, when God uses one of us, everybody knows that it was God's doing, God's grace and mercy, favor poured upon our lives. We can't say I did this. You would never even be able to get to the place to say I did this, because of who we used to be. And whatever the song is this morning, I want all y'all to be encouraged, whether you're out of position right now.